guards, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talks.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
What's up? What's up? It is Weekend Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. At least I do. I'm really excited heading into week three. I'm going to brag. I don't brag often, but when I do, it's typically because of great things. I'm 51-26 in 2 weeks this season. Which is and again, we've got Brian and Jacob who are producing the show. I'm not really great with math, as crazy as that sounds. What, it's like 66-67% on the season? If I'm 51-26, do you guys know?
That sounds about right.
Does it? Does it? Anyway, I'm, and a big reason, I know folks are saying, man, that's a lot of it is prop bets. I spend quite a few hours every week doing a deep dive into a lot of the matchups. And so obviously a lot of those picks are prop bets. And a lot of them, by the way, if you go to ESPN.com, go to the chalk site, and me, Doug Kazarian, Joe Fortenball, Bear, Tyler Fulgham, Stanford Steve, we've got all our picks up there, so you can find them out there as well. So I'm really excited heading into week three. Hopefully, you know, I went 22-9 this past week, so hopefully that trend and that type of success can continue. We'll see what happens. So heading into Thursday night's game, as we know, the Panthers won 24-9. I like the Panthers as a teaser bet. So I teased the Panthers down to -2. So what's great about it is now I'm sitting there, it's my first leg of a teaser bet. And so, you know, there's a number of games out here this week that I'm going to pair that up with. One being the Broncos. I'll tease them down to -4.5. I just think it's going to be another long day for Zach Wilson for sure. I love Washington. Washington right now is getting 7. This is another thing. It's really important. It's not that it's important, but if you wager and you feel really good or you have a lot of conviction in regard to a team, jump on it early, because chances are if you feel really good about a team, so does the general public. And you know, based on money, a lot of times money flow changes a line. You know, the sports books don't want to take too much of a bath. So jump on a line early if you feel good about it. And I felt good about the Washington line. Listen, the Bills are my pick to win the Super Bowl. But let's be honest. Their defense has not played up to par in regard to what I was expecting this season. And their offense, Josh Allen, he's not playing great as well. So I was able to get Washington at plus 9, and then I teased them up to +15. I'm excited to see Justin Fields play. I like him in fantasy, but that's going to be a long day for him as well. So I teased the Cleveland Browns down to -1.5. Same thing with the Ravens against the Lions, teasing them down to -1.5. I like the over in the Chargers-Chiefs game. So I teased that down to over 48.5. I do like the Bengals this week. I teased them up to +9.5. Cardinals, -1.5 against the Jags. I like the Raiders. I'm not teasing the Raiders, by the way. I think the Raiders just destroy the Miami Dolphins this week. I just don't like the hook. I don't like anything that's got a half to it. So I just bought the point down. So I've got the Raiders -3. I love the Rams this week. I really do. I got them at +1.5. I teased them up to +7.5. I got the Rams at +7.5. The Seattle Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings, I think a ton of points are going to be scored in this game. So I teased them down to over 48. I love the Packers this week. Teased the Packers up to +9. +9.5, actually. I got the Packers at plus 3.5. So I teased them up to plus 9.5. And also, I like the Eagles this week as well. They're getting 3.5. I teased them up to 9.5. So I just share with you, you know, a lot of people think the teasers are losers bets. I really like the 2-team 6-point teaser. I really like it a lot. And this week, there's a lot of great action in regard to teasers this week. So as you could just tell, I just went through quite a bit with you. And so it's a major way that I'm playing week three in regard to how the lines are this week. Okay, all show filling in for Chris Carlin, I shared with you that BetMGM has this great promotion going on, the Weekend Warrior, where and I'm just going to read it, the King of Weekend. It's a free way to challenge where you can win up to $50,000 for correctly picking the highest scoring pro football teams during the weekend. So, of course, you got to, you know, you log on, either, you know, log into BetMGM or download the app. Download the app is the best way. And so I was talking to the producers, Brian and Jacob, and guys, I want you to contribute here. I think it would be fun if we talk about the teams that I think are going to score the most points, and I'm curious if you guys agree or disagree. You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so first things first. Let's look at some of the teams, some of the games that I think are really I like the overs in. Right. So Seattle and the Minnesota Vikings. I love the overs in that game. So, and I'm going to write these down. So for me, let's do this first. I want to write the teams that I believe are going to put a lot of points up. And then I'll put them in the correct order. Okay, let's do that. So I think Seattle's going to put up a lot of points. I think the Vikings are going to put up a lot of points. I think Arizona is going to put up a lot of points against Jacksonville. Bum, bum, bum. You know, Aaron Rodgers, this is something that isn't, Aaron Rodgers hates the 49ers. Aaron Rodgers grew up wanting to play for the 49ers. Like, he's a West Coast dude. All he ever wanted to do was play for the 49ers, and they passed up on him for Alex Smith. So every time Aaron Rodgers plays the 49ers, he cremates them.
So he has like a major chip on his shoulder.
Oh gosh. Yes, he does. So we've got to put the Packers on there for sure.
On the night football too, so that's going to be interesting.
I like the Rams this week against the Bucks, bum 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 bum. And of course, we've got to put the Chargers in there and KC, right? Like, they're gonna score a lot of points, and we got to put the Ravens in there. They're gonna score a lot of points against the Lions. So these would be my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so right now I have 8 teams. So Arizona, Seattle, the Packers, the Vikings, the Ravens, Kansas City, and the Chargers. So I'm gonna go Seattle 1. I'm gonna go Arizona 2. I'm gonna go Ravens 3. I'm gonna go Chargers 4. I'm going to go Kansas City 5. And I'm going to go to Minnesota Vikings 6. So for folks out there who are thinking about participating in this great promotion with BetMGM, and this is, of course, this Bet Weekend Wager is sponsored by BetMGM. This would be in order the 6 teams that I think are going to put up the most points in week 3. Seattle 1, Arizona 2, the Ravens 3, and I'm sorry, let me tell you who they're playing. So Seattle is playing the Minnesota Vikings. Arizona is taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Ravens are taking on the Lions. Then at 4, I've got the Chargers, and 5, I've got Kansas City, and they're playing each other, by the way. And then 6, it was hard. I want to lean towards the Packers, but again, I think a ton of points are going to be put up in that Minnesota Vikings Seattle game. So, and of course I love the Rams this year. this week, but I'm going to go Vikings 6. So Seattle, Arizona, the Ravens, the Chargers, Kansas City, and the Vikings. So those are my 6. Guys, what do you think?
I like it. I was like, what about the... Because you did say that Aaron Rodgers does play good against the 49ers, so I thought that was going to be your 16. But I see where you're going in there. You said it's going to be a high-scoring game with the Seahawks.
Is there a team that you would replace one of mine with, Bri?
Me?
Who would it be?
Because I'm keep going back and forth with the Packers. Maybe them put them in 6 and put the Vikings, take them out.
Okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I won't be mad at you.
With the other teams, I think you're fine. I think those are good. But that's just my only one that I would think that I would go against.
Okay, so why don't we do this? Why don't you and I have like a little personal wager, and we'll see who puts up more points, the Packers or the Vikings this week?
Well, maybe I'm being a little selfish because I have Aaron Rodgers on my fantasy football team, and he needs to deliver for me.
He 18 touchdowns, 2 in his last, I think it was 8 games. I think his last 8 games, 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah. Okay.
So, in last time he faced them, last season, he tossed 4 touchdowns, and he passed for over 300 yards. So, yeah, he's got vengeance. Thy name is Rodgers. Nothing wrong with you picking the Packers, but how about you, just for poops and giggles, you and I have like a little, in-house wager for a bottle of wine.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. So, whoever scores more points. I've got the Vikings, you got the Packers.
Okay.
But again, hey, we're here to help you win this contest. Again, Seattle 1, Arizona 2, Ravens 3, Chargers 4, Kansas City 5, and I say Vikings 6. Brian says Packers 6. Without further ado, Mike Clay, I think he's absolutely brilliant. One of the best in the business at ESPN. Him and I have a NFL prop bet podcast for Daily Wager that airs every Friday. And so Mike's been so kind to join me on the show to talk some of the prop bets that we love heading into week 3. And let's keep it local. Let's start with the Atlanta Falcons and the Giants. I'm staying away from betting this game, but there are a number of prop bets that I love. I'm going to share those with you right now, Mike. One is Daniel Jones over 290 combined rushing and passing yards. Sterling Shepard over 5.5 receptions, and Sterling Shepard over 61.5 receiving yards. Those are the three favorite prop bets in this Giants matchup. Mike, what do you like?
I need 20 minutes to review all. What do you have? Nine props in this.
I
got to roll through and get back to you on that. But no, I do. They sound pretty solid. Obviously, Shepard's been a huge part of that offense so far, perhaps on pace for a career year here. The guy we know has seen targets, considerable amounts of targets over the past couple of years, but finally seems to be putting it all together this season. Like to see that. My prop though is Saquon Barkley. I think he gets rolling this week. This has been you and I actually on live TV on ESPN went head to head on Barkley a little bit. And, my target was always week 3. I said, you expect a slow start. I think they kind of unleash him in this third game off 10 days rest when the schedule's a little lighter and when he's back, has some snaps underneath him. And, we started to see a little sign of that in week 2. It was, again, against the second really tough defense there in Washington. But, he played over 80% of the snaps. Now he gets that 10 days rest and is going up against, to your point, a Falcons defense that has some significant problems. They've already allowed 190 rushing yards this season, 4.6 yards per carry. That's 8th highest in the NFL. And if you expect Barkley to get to double-digit touches or get into the 16-17 range in the carry department, you would expect him to hit this mark, right? It's 62.5 is his line this week. In games where he has, let me see here. He's cleared 62 rushing yards in 18 of 30 career games in which he had double-digit carries, and he's got there in 14 of 16 in which he had 17 carries. So, again, if you think he's going to get that volume, and he should, having just played over 80% of the snaps, you would expect him to hit this mark.
I don't know what to make of the line, by the way. Just side note, I'm staying away because, I just don't know. I don't really have a great grip on this Falcons team. Like, they seem just awful to me. But I don't know, is the Giants offensive line going to show up? Is their defense going to start playing better? I don't know. So, I'm going to focus in on, you know, obviously the prop bets in this game. Let's keep it home, and that's the Jets going to Denver. Now, understand something. The Denver Broncos have an excellent record, win-loss record, win, obviously, in the month of September when they are at home. Why? Because typically, and we saw it this year, right, Mike? Like, guys aren't in shape. Guys aren't in football shape. Nobody really played. Like, none of the really starters played a lot in the preseason. You know, the new collective bargaining agreement. You know, they're not at camp. They're not going live as often. So typically, teams that go to Denver and play in Mile High in September, it's really difficult for them. I mean, there's just not enough oxygen for them. So I love Denver this week. With that being said, poor Zach Wilson. He goes from Bill Belichick to Vic Fangio. I don't think it gets any easier for him. So I've got Zach Wilson throwing an interception. And you could get Zach Wilson throwing two interceptions at plus money, by the way. I've got love Courtin Sutton because Jerry Jeudy is still out. I like over in receiving yards for Courtin Sutton. I know that you've got a few prop bet plays in this Jets-Denver game. What do you like?
I do. Yeah, I actually have three, so I'll keep it pretty quick here. But Javonte Williams under 1.5 catches. Like that one, Teddy Bridgewater's only directed 10% of his throws to the running back so far this season. That is lowest in the NFL. And we know Williams is splitting backfield work with Melvin Gordon. So I like the under on that one. I have, on the other side of that game, I have Teddy Bridgewater, yes, to throwing an interception. I know it's the Jets. I know they're at home. I know he's playing well, but, you know, if you're over on Caesars, you can get this one at plus $1.65. So really nice juice on that one. You know, he's had a history of throwing plenty of interceptions, and he's actually 36 to 57 career touchdowns. So, you know, I think there's a decent chance, especially with how aggressive he's been this season, I think there's a chance that he throws one. So I like it with this juice. And then the other one is a pair for Michael Carter. You know, the Lions don't seem to be reflecting his role increase in week two. You can get over 7.5 carries. He had 11 last week. And then you can get over 9.5 receiving yards. And he's cleared that in both games so far. So, again, he played well. He's their best back. And I think he beats both of those numbers. The carry total is actually sitting there at plus money right now. So I like those a lot.
Again, Mike Clay joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's take a look at that Seattle Vikings game. I think a ton of points are going to be scored in this game. I love the over in this game. And specifically, prop bet-wise, Russell Wilson over 282.5 passing yards and Lockett with a great, great matchup, a juicy matchup against Breland, over 73.5 receiving yards. I know you've got a Russell Wilson prop bet as well, right?
I do. You know what? So Russell Wilson, this is crazy. I was doing some research, and it's over 1.5 passing touchdowns, right? So he's actually hit that mark in 14 of his past 19 games. But what I came across is something really interesting, and it was that Russ is money in this category early in the season. He has thrown two or more passing touchdowns in 12 consecutive games played during weeks 1 to 3. Unbelievable. He's money in the bank the first 3 weeks of the season in this department the past few years. So, you know, we've seen that this year, too. You know, he threw 4 in week 1 against the Colts, and he threw 2 last week. So, actually, last year, you remember, he opened the season with 8 straight games with 2-plus passing touchdowns. Minnesota's defense off to a slow start this year. They've allowed 2 or more touchdowns both weeks so far. So, you're not going to get great juice on this one, Anita, but, you know, it's as close to money in the bag as you can get in a statistical category, barring some bad luck where Carson scores 2 or 3 times. You know, Wilson's been throwing them at a higher rate, and I like this one a lot.
All right, let's end with our favorite prop bet of the week. And mine is Justin Fields over 207.5 passing yards, as well as Justin Fields over 266.5 passing and rushing yards. That Bears offensive line is just god-awful. He's going to be running for his life. And I love the way that he creates and he buys more time for himself. And he's got the big arm. I think he's going to connect with Mooney. I like Mooney this week as well. But that's my favorite prop bet is Justin Fields over passing yards and over passing in rushing yards. What is your favorite prop bet heading into week 3?
Yeah, so I'm going to go Austin Ekeler. And I know that you're over on some props with him. And that's fine. I'm focusing on really on his carry total, right? So I'm going under 13.5 carries. This is not a guy that has done a ton as a rusher in the NFL. You know, he's never cleared 34% of the designed runs there in that Chargers offense. And if you trace back, you know, I'm not going to cheat here and use his first couple of years in the league when he didn't play much, but he first took on a significant offensive role in 2018, right? So since that point, he's reached 14 carries, which is what you would need to clear this line, in only 8 of 44 games. That's 18%. He's actually only gotten a double-digit carries against the Chiefs one time. That was he had 16 in a game against the Chiefs last year. Otherwise, he has had 5, 5, 9, and 7 carries against them. And I specifically carved that small sample out because, you know, it's game script, right? I mean, the Chiefs, when he's faced them, have been a powerhouse team in the league, and we would expect the same kind of thing here, right? The Chiefs are the favorite. We expect them to lead in this game. If they're ahead, the Chargers are going to have to throw more than usual. It's not going to allow Eckler to rack a second-half carry. And even if they are in that situation, you're going to see Justin Jackson or Larry Roundtree handling the bulk of that. So I like the under on Eckler here a lot.
Interesting. So with that being said, then if there was out of the Eckler over 55.5 rushing, Eckler over 95.5 rushing and receiving, then obviously you would be more on the latter than you would on just the rushing, then I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it's funny. My rushing yardage prop is 55 right on the nose. So mine is right. I am. And then the
it's
total
right there.
Yardage. The total yard is 97, so, you know, it's a little over the line as well. So I actually agree with you, but, you know, he's an efficient runner. You just don't expect the carries to get there, especially in this game.
Interesting. Mike, always great having you on. You know how brilliant I believe you are. So so we so appreciate your time here on 98.7 ESPN. Good luck in week three, my friend.
You too, Anita. Talk soon.
Again, Mike Clay joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Really excited to be working with him again. Years ago, when I first started working at ESPN, Mike and I had a fantasy football podcast, and we won an Emmy for it. So really was really proud and excited to work with Mike then. That was when he was first hired by the company. And then to be reunited with him now and talking gambling and prop bets, it's even better. So that podcast is up on ESPN Plus. So make sure you listen to it. We do an even deeper dive into a number of other prop bets that unfortunately we didn't have a lot of time to get into here on Week in Wager. Without further ado, John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, joins us now on this Friday night. John, how you doing?
I'm good, Anita. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Not as good as Team USA. Boy, what a butt kicking today. Before we start looking forward to Saturday, break it down for us. Team USA up 6-2. You know, I will say this, I was surprised. I was in the foursomes. I thought Casey and Hovland would do a little bit more damage than they did. That's I had them over DJ and Morikawa, especially because Morikawa was dealing with that back injury towards the end of the season. So that was a surprise for me. And also foursomes, as we know, alternate ball typically favors the Europeans because it's what they grow up playing. So I'm a little surprised by this score, but kind of recap today for us, John.
John Bob and Sergio Garcia, the Spanish duo, and boy, I mean, just an exhibition put on by the American team in the alternate shot of forces in the morning, and then following that up in the four ball, where force beat down, like the English Finau match was just, it felt like it was over before it started. Tony Finau started making everything from everywhere. And, you know, they despite them only winning two matches, you know, the Johnson-Shapley match, they managed to get the ties. And going into the weekend, into Saturday, day two, up 6-2 is pretty formidable. And they're looking to really lay their hammer down tomorrow and then pad the lead pretty much going into Sunday, which could possibly be a coronation. But I'm sure Team Europe has something to say about that.
I'm sure. You know, it was interesting. Coming into this, I was fading the American team because, you know, all the dysfunction we hear, you know, DeChambeau's been practicing for the long drive tournament that he's going to be playing in. And, He apparently busted his hand up. Brooks Koepka's complaining about, you know, this stinks being on a team. It ruins my routine. Boo, boo, boo. And then, you know, again, DJ was inconsistent. Morikawa was dealing with the back thing. So I really like the Europeans coming in. Now, what I find interesting is the United States, since 2006, always wins day one. And that's even the years that the Europeans have come back to win. So, you know, I guess, but I just, I don't know, like, you know, are they up, you know, by one match? Are they up by 1 point? You know what I mean? Like, how significant mm-hmm. is, how much of a hole is this for the Europeans being down 6-2?
Well, it's a pretty big hole right now, but, you know, there's a lot of golf left. And you mentioned, you know, the questions going into this for Team USA is about functioning as a unit. And I think the key part of their success today was the emergence of rookie players. And, we had talked about this before. Hey, you've got half of your team is Ryder Cup rookie. If you don't have the Tiger, you don't have the Phil anymore. And these guys are hungry. And hunger and desire and the will to win is contagious. And especially players like Finau. I thought Harris English played well. Tony's not a rookie, but Bentley and Morikawa, these guys just are hungry to win. Listen, they certainly cannot take their foot off the gas, right? So any type of win tomorrow by Team USA is huge, okay? Just win each session. They have to be thinking about just winning the morning, whether it's 2.5 to 1.5 or 3-1 or just coming out on top, just to increase that lead. You know, 4 is a big lead, but there's a lot of golf left. If Europe can cut that to 3 and even get into Sunday 3 down, that is not insurmountable. But if it gets to 4.5 or 5, I think it's toast. It's a Sunday of coronating the winners and Team USA taking back the Ryder Cup. So big day tomorrow, Saturday. And as we just saw, Captain Stricker rolled out the pairings for tomorrow morning's AM, and they're not that they're the same as this morning.
Yeah, the same.
Why fix it if it's not broken, I guess.
Exactly. So just to give folks an idea, the foursomes, day two of the foursomes, where it's alternate ball, starts at 8:05 a.m., and that's Brooks Koepka and of course, Berger, going up against Garcia and Rahm. Then at 8:21 is DJ and Morikawa against Casey. And well, that is different. It's Casey and Hatton. Yesterday or earlier today, it was Casey and Hovland, FYI. Then
United States teams haven't changed. Right.
Right. Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas at 8:37 against Hovland and Weisberger. And then Cantlay and Schauffele at 8:53 against Westwood and Fitzpatrick. So, yeah. So Europe... The European team switched it up. The United States did not. With that being said, here are the odds right now, okay? So heading into the tournament earlier today, before the first match, it was you could get Europe 2-1 to win. Right now, they're 9-1. I mean, those are some remarkable odds. Would you lay money on that, John?
I love 9-1 versus 1,000 to win 1,100 for Team USA. Europe needs to just chip away at it tomorrow. That's like kind of like, hey, let's get back in the game. Get it to 3. Going into Sunday, anything could happen. They'll have momentum. And again, 9-1, that's pretty decent odds, wouldn't you agree? And then
it's amazing odds. It's amazing odds. Yeah.
So my heart is with Team USA. My wallet is with Team USA right now.
Well, here's the thing. I tell people all the time. You can't draft in fantasy, and you can't gamble with your heart. You can't. And you know, as much as you know, I sat here today. I worked from home all day today. I had it on all day today, and I was rooting for Team USA. My money was on Europe. 2-1. Now I could get Europe 9-1. It's It's very tempting. Okay, so as we know, the two formats, foursomes, USA plus 100, Europe 2-1. Based on these teams, do you feel that Europe has an opportunity here to win tomorrow's foursomes?
Looking at this lineup, and I'm looking at right now, I see that Europe can, and that's the gross team. I've been impressed with Joel Hatton. I have seen the best support. Victor Hovland's been great, but Weisberger has been so-so. And then, three grand for that. So typically, the Europeans like the foursome format. They play this coming out. This is a shot that the Europeans felt comfortable with. But the pairing by Justin Stricker have been real well. He's staying with the exact same pairing in the morning. Obviously, Europe is shaking things up a little bit with the exception of Garcia and Rahm, but that's really the only one I can see them winning. I think USA is going to possibly increase the lead after the foursome. Who knows what will happen in the afternoon. But I think it's a good job by Stricker not kind of shifting it around just for the sake of shifting it around.
So again, if you feel that the United States is going to win the foursomes tomorrow, that's plus 100. Europe is 2-1. And then the four ball, which is going to be later on in the afternoon, USA minus 125, Europe plus 230. But we don't know what those pairings are going to be. They haven't come out.
You can bet that it's going to be Bryson and Scheffler again, though. What are the odds on that?
Oh my gosh! Did you see? I'm sure you saw his 415, 418 yard drive that set him up for an eagle.
I played that hole with driver, hybrid, and then a wedge into the green. Right over the corner. No idea how far that ball had to go. Amazing. That hole is huge. And I love the pair together. You know, this guy, both great. Scheffler is Mr. Accuracy off the tee, 64% of the fairway. And just let Bryson go. Like, just go, dude. As far as you want. I got you covered. And I think that's exciting to watch. I think you got the entire thing tomorrow.
John, thank you so much. Appreciate your time this evening. Enjoy the Ryder Cup tomorrow and Sunday.
Thanks, Anita. Yeah, everyone enjoy your Ryder Cup weekend and play great golf. See you later.
You got it. John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club. So just to sum it up, Europe 9-1, amazing odds. See if they could come back. Again, I know it's not fun to wager against the United States. I know it's not, but these odds are pretty remarkable. The foursomes, we just laid out for you what those teams are going to be. John believes that the United States is going to win the foursomes again tomorrow, and that's even money, plus 100. And then we don't know what the four-ball pairings are going to be. But the United States, minus 125, Europe plus 230. I would put money on Europe. They've got to win one of the two to get back into striking distance to head into Sunday. That's for sure.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.